This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know who you're trashing coming up this hour on the show. In 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, this date in mothership history, and we look ahead to Heat and Lakers, the NBA Finals. As always, you can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. We'll preview today and tomorrow as we open up the Major League Baseball postseason with Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, who will join us a little over an hour from now. Excited to have Jeff Passan join us here on the show. Good friend of mine for a long time, one of the best, to me, baseball reporters in the country. He's going to join us coming up in a little over an hour from now. It's a Trash Tuesday. Let's read through some trashes this morning. Dixieland Dan tweets, I'm trashing beds, DA. Beds are never more comfortable than about 45 seconds right after your alarm goes off. Yeah, those sleep numbers are comfy, but it goes to another level when that alarm sounds. How dare you try to make me become Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka? Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
I know it. I know it well. You know, that mattress, that sleep number mattress, it's real good when you lay down at night. You're like, oh, yeah. But it's even better right after that alarm goes off. You're like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed, especially as the weather gets a little colder. Daniel tweets, I'm trashing drivers who want to drive under 65 with a speed limit is 70 or more. If my 66-mile-per-hour governed truck is passing you, you're driving too slow.
This must be garbage time.
Mariana tweets, today I'm trashing my boss for making whooping exclamation sounds when he uses the bathroom and for clipping his nails at his desk. Hashtag stinky debris. Hashtag are you hiring?
So frustrating.
Now, I'd like to know a little detail here on a boss making whooping exclamation sounds when he uses the bathroom. What exactly does that sound like? Mraz, you're kind of the king of the throne here. What do you think whooping exclamation sounds of the bathroom sounds like?
So whooping is a weird way to put it. I'm assuming like a whoo, 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 like one of those. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Like that relief. Whoo. Whoop, like a Chris Berman doing a prime time. And look at him go, whoop, whoop.
Okay. So essentially, Mariana's boss in the bathroom is Chris Berman doing a Barry Sanders highlight.
Yes. By the way, how great was Berman last night again? I mean, the guy still got it, DA. He still got it.
I turned off halftime and watched the Stanley Cup final during halftime. So Berman did his fastest 3 minutes in sports.
Yes, yes. And I can't – he had some good nicknames that now are slipping my mind. But the three – now, his hair looks like it's falling off. There's a little weekend at Bernie's going on with Chris Berman. But he was on top of his game. Whoever had that script was on point.
Also, are they doing concerts again during halftime?
I didn't see the concert. So, again, like you, I had the hockey going on, but it caught my eye that Berman was coming on with fastest 3 minutes, so I stuck with that for 3 minutes. I can't tell you if they had the Goo Goo Dolls play last night. I really don't know who else played at halftime.
Okay. irrational thought tweets from trashing win probability percentages. Get that meaningless projection data out of here. No algorithm calculating Falcons having that high of a chance to avoid choking is worth mentioning. Trash
it. So frustrating.
Yeah, the Falcons apparently had a win percentage of 99% in both the last 2 weeks. And it's a fair point. If the Falcons are ever considered a 99% win percentage, that algorithm isn't worth its weight, because you know it should never be that high with Dan Quinn and the Falcons. So send us your trashes, DA on CBS. If you tweet at me, DA on CBS, or on the phone at 855-212-4CBS. Alien OG tweets, I'm trashing mumble rappers who tattoo all of their face. Can't stand these dudes. My mom has better bars. Trash them and light that dumpster ablaze. Hashtag
Luke,
trash trash.
It's the trash compactor.
By the way, well, Mariana did tweet to me, DA, that that is the exact sound, so I nailed it.
I can't imagine a boss going into the bathroom, or really anybody, certainly at the office, and going, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Maybe you watched the fastest 3 minutes last night.
We got a good industrial power flush here. Whoop!
New urinal cakes. Whoop!
They just restocked the toilet paper. Whoop!
And look at them go.
Two.
The bathroom. Whoop! The frozen tile beneath my feet. Whoop!
That's two.
So that's so dumb. So Mitch Trubisky is no longer the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy, after the comeback win by Nick Foles, has made a change. I think unsurprisingly, to me, when they went to Nick Foles in Sunday's comeback over the Falcons, it told me a lot. It told me that this coaching staff must be so fed up with Mitch Trubisky, which is interesting because they came into this season essentially telling Mitch Trubisky, you've got to be on your P's and Q's because we don't know if we want to bring you back. They've got to make a decision on whether they extend him after year four, going into year number five. And by bringing in Nick Foles, they've provided a legitimate challenger to the position to try to push him and to also have a decent option if Trubisky did not do his part. So both Ryan Pace in the front office and Matt Nagy clearly agreed, we've got to push Trubisky. We can't go into next season and not have a decent secondary option here. And we need to get more out of him. Okay, got it. But Trubisky was also 2-0, had a really good final quarter against, well, was that week one? Yeah, it was week one. His comeback against the Lions was a dandy. He was great. He threw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and then got the win over the Giants. He was 2-0. If you are Matt Nagy, we were kind of talking about this with Doug Peterson last hour. Because Doug Peterson sees 1-2 or 1, he's 0-2-1. It's not that far out of the division lead because the Cowboys in Washington are tied at 1-2. He has some leash. He has some space to allow Carson Wentz to kind of grow through this because they're not out of this division race right now. I wonder if part of this is that the Bears, even at 3-0, feel like they're a Fugazi 3-0 and the Packers are a legit 3-0 and they can't afford to let Mitch Trubisky futz around. Because at 2-0, if you would have told any Bears fan, okay, 2-0, do you think Mitch Trubisky is going to lose his job? Every single one of them would have said no. No, because they've got to keep betting on Mitch Trubisky because they've got to figure out whether he's the guy for them or not. Once they go away from Trubisky, they have shut the door basically on him being the franchise guy. I really believe that. I don't think you can go back to Trubisky once you've already shut the door on him. And now going to Nick Foles, for them to bench Trubisky on Sunday, to me, told me they weren't any longer having patience with Trubisky's growth. There was no patience anymore. There was no, we can excuse away some mistakes because we're 2-0, and at worst, we're 2-1. They said, we can't make excuses for this anymore. It's bad. We're sick of it. We don't like him. Maybe they don't like him. And we're going to a different guy, Nick Foles. And then once Foles won the game, it was, of course, we're going to start Nick Foles again. If Foles throws three INTs on Sunday and looks awful, could they go back to Trubisky? I suppose so. But to me, the writing's already on the wall. If at 2-0, the quarterback's just supposed to win the football game. If at 2-0, you were willing to make an in-game switch, you've already lost all the confidence that you ever had in Trubisky, and it's over. I really believe it's over. And I don't blame Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace either, because they've been patient with Trubisky. And he has just been bad. And it's worse because you watch Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes in that draft class soar. And you watch Trubisky, you know, fumble his way through games. But I really think that this is not just talent. This is not getting it. This is not working at it. This is being a bit of a putz. I think so. Because again, if you felt like he was a legit leader and was putting in the work and was growing little by little, at 2-0, you can withstand not yanking him and being 2-1. You can survive that. If you're going to make a switch and then you're not going to go back to him in week 4, you are fed up with whatever he's not doing. You must think that the scheme's fine, you've coached him fine, the supporting pieces are fine, and he's still not getting it. And this is a wake-up call that they've babied him too much. I always felt like going after Trubisky at number 2 was too much of a reach because he just didn't have enough of a body of work at UNC. But when I see him in the NFL, I also see a child. You know, in the preseason when he said, I feel like I really showed good leadership in practice, I'm like, oh God, a real leader never says that. And he's not a kid anymore. You showed leadership in practice. Could you imagine Drew Brees? Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers? Could you imagine Tom Brady ever saying, yeah, well, you know, I showed good leadership in practice, so I feel pretty good about myself. I mean, oh, it's just vomit-inducing. Mraz, I think that Nagy and Ryan Pace, specifically Nagy, who did not draft Trubisky, is just sick and tired of putting a puss under center and is like, I don't have the patience to do it anymore.
Yeah, and they don't make that move for Nick Foles in the offseason, giving up assets. Remember, I mean, they could have gave up nothing and held out for Cam Newton if they wanted to wait that long as well. You don't make that move without thinking that at some point Nick Foles is going to be your starting quarterback, and I can't help but think that Pace and Nagy, obviously they wanted Trubisky to compete. They wanted him to earn the job. But they were probably a little disappointed that Nick Foles didn't just come in and completely outplay Trubisky. And I'm sure that sent a little bit of an alarm going off in all of their heads. But at some point, enough's enough. If the leash was that short, they wanted to go to Foles for a long time here since they brought him in. And all they needed was that second half surge from Foles to realize, all right, this is our guy. At least he has that winning ability. And now Trubisky could sit there. He could sulk. And who knows if we ever see him as a starting quarterback in the NFL again.
And I think also remember that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are also playing for their jobs, coaching for their jobs this year. Those two guys are on the hot seat in Chicago, and if they have a 6-10 type season, a 7-9 type season, they're probably gone. So it was probably all along hey, we got a short leash here if Trubisky's bad, but they're 2-0, so the leash gets longer at 2-0. But I think they were just really frustrated by him. I think that Nagy specifically must be really bent out of shape about how little Trubisky's getting it, and we're just like, we can't do it anymore.
Let's be honest. I was going to say, yeah, with those guys and playing for their job, I mean, let's be fair here, with an extra wild card in the NFC, at 3-0, do you trust the Bears more with Nick Foles navigating their way to make sure they get to a playoff spot to keep these guys employed? Or do you trust Mitchell Trubisky? How do you not trust the guy who's already been a Super Bowl MVP?
Yep, absolutely you do. You absolutely do trust Foles at 3-0. Foles at 3-0, certainly to manage you to a playoff spot, right, but way more than Trubisky, even at 2-0.
Yep.
And Trubisky could be 4-0, and you would worry that, oh my God, the bottom's going to drop out because it's all kind of smoke and mirrors with him. So last week's PGP was a fun one because we debuted a new segment. Mraz had this brainstorm called Swing and a miss. And it was going to grade out my headlines that I put together for the show every day, which we air on the simulcast on watchda.com, inside the radio.com app, and then also on Twitch. So Mraz had this idea, which is a good. I always want to, you know, promote the ideas and make sure that we reward some creativity around here. Mraz had this idea that is called Swing and a Miss, where they're going to grade out him and Bogish my puns or my attempt at clever headlines. So the only problem was the title, Swing and a Miss, is not really two different things. It's not a swing or a miss. It's not a hit or a miss. It's not a home run or a strikeout. It's swing and a miss. So we brought this up last week, and Mraz said, okay, maybe we can adjust it to swing or a miss. Okay, nobody ever says swing or a miss, but that's how him and Bogish played it last week. So I said, if you're going to do swing or a miss or swing and a miss, why don't we have a little bit of production? Because the one thing Mraz did not do, he came up with the idea, but he did not follow through with the production elements of it because, of course, why would you go the extra mile to do that? So instead of having a nice produced open and having a music bed under it or having some production elements, there was nothing. So I said, Mraz, why don't you at least use a clip? And I sent him, of course, because I have to kind of like hold his hand through traffic here. I sent him the clip of what to use. So I sent him a YouTube clip, and I actually put the timestamp on it specifically. Okay, at 2:15 of this clip, use this. All right, so the unfortunate thing was Mraz used the wrong clip. Okay, he pulled, of course, not an announcer saying swing and a miss. He pulled something else, and I think it's because my timestamp was 3 seconds wrong. I was actually looking at the announcer at 2:12 because I heard this. I said, this is not the clip I told him to pull. This is the clip that I was trying to get Mraz to pull.
The pitch, swing and a miss, and he went down to his knees swinging at that pitch.
And specifically just swing and a miss. This is an announcer saying swing and a miss for swing and a miss as a segment. But Mraz, he pulls the wrong soundbite. Okay, he pulls a soundbite that does not make sense.
No, I didn't.
In how it works. What did you end up pulling?
I will tell you exactly what happened. I don't want to throw him under the bus because we're putting extra work. This was Bilotti. I don't have the power to roll on my stuff from here. So I gave the clip to Pete. I forwarded it with your timestamp. He rolled on it. It was a bunch of fast forwards with those two. I heard it. By the time I heard that they were the wrong and I was editing, Pete had left for the day. So it is on my list that I was emailing him after the show and we taped the PGP. We need to put this in the system today.
So you knew that last week's clip was the wrong clip.
But I wasn't going to wait till the next day to post the PGP, so I just went with something from it. That's all.
Oh, DA, hello. I want to clarify what happened here. I was told to roll on a clip, and I rolled on the clip, and I even said to Sean, this is the clip we're going to pull, and we pulled the clip, and it went in the system, and voila.
So Mraz confirmed the clip.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said this clip, the YouTube clip. It wasn't like this audio, and then I saw it come through, and I saw that it was rolled. The problem was it was the same length, almost, but it was diced up and stopped. Like, it was almost like, you know, like you would click through something on YouTube if you roll on audio, and it was not basically clicked through to that exact moment. And by the time I heard that and went through the WAV file of it, it was too late. And that's not Pete's fault. Pete had a lot going on back at the shop, so I'm really not trying to blame him, but it was on the list of things to do. No, I'm not. But physically, I could not roll on it. And Pete has a lot of extra stuff. We're throwing now imaging on a permission granted podcast, and that's unfair to Pete. I really do believe that. So there was a simple mistake made, and it was getting fixed today. I had no idea I was going to have my knees cut out from under me at 8:15 this morning on this and even brought up. I thought we're going to slip this through the cracks, and we're going to handle it so that we just get this on the right page. And clearly now that's not what happened.
Okay. All right. So now I guess the right clip will be played today. It'll be the announcer saying swing and a miss.
That is the hope, yes.
Okay.
The pitch, swing and a miss, and he went down to his knees swinging at that pitch.
Well, Pete, now that you have that, why don't you just email me that clip and we don't have to go through rolling it, that's all.
So had you already emailed this to Pete, or did I just do your work for you before you got it done?
That was what I was doing at 9:55 when the show ended today as we prepared for the PGP. Because I figured he could roll on it while we record.
Okay. So I got one more clip from last week's swing and a miss segment. And why don't we roll this? Because I've got a bit of a problem with this. Let's play it.
He gives us on Doug Peterson's bashing of Carson Wentz or questioning, do the Dougie. Now, if there's anything less cool music-wise in the last 10 years, it was probably the Dougie. Teach me how to Dougie. Do the Dougie. And DA showed so how out of touch he was with music by that's what he came up with. There's a million. I mean, he's giving you dirty turds for the Falcons. You come up with a ton of bird puns. He gives you a do the Dougie for Doug Peterson?
There has to be a better song. I just don't know it. There has to be a better song, but maybe there isn't a better song. And that's why they keep playing them in the stadium. But now here he is playing the hits on his own end. So I might want a little more consistency from DA, where if he's going to ask us in stadiums to pull forward with our musical references, get into the present, then maybe he needs to do that as well with his musical titles for the show segments.
I think that's a fair assessment, Bogus. Teach DA how to Dougie.
Late swing by Hamilton as he strikes out.
So that's the clip that was played to the end of it. And here is my problem. Here's my bone to pick. I love this segment. I like you guys grading and judging my attempts at a clever headline. But the ultimate hypocrites, you two. In this segment, number one, you kill me for not knowing modern music and that everybody knows that Teach Me How to Dougie is silly. But Mraz messes up Teach Me How to Dougie. He doesn't know how to sing it. So he's killing me for not knowing how to sing it. And now he... Teach Me How to Dougie. Doug. That's not how the song goes. Number two.
Because it's so irrelevant. Who knows?
Number two.
Who cares how it goes?
Number two. Bogish and Mraz make the argument that, hey, DA, if you want better music and you're going to criticize Crazy Train for being played at Raiders games, suggest a better song. You can't just say that I'm sure it's out there. Well, then you guys have to come up with better headlines. You can't crush me for Teach Me How to Dougie and then not bring up a better catchphrase or a better pun. So that has to also now be part of this. If you don't like mine, that's fine. Kill me. Give me an F. Shred me. But you've got to give a better suggestion.
Well, hold on here a second. Hold on, as Hurricane Jen would say. There's two things here. Number one, already we're 1 week into this segment and my fears have been realized. I come up with an idea, and here comes more work. More work for Pete, and we get knocked for the thing. That's not fair to him. Now more work for me than I need to come up with the headlines, because the ultimate best part about the show is making fun of somebody without any defense. I mean, heck, you went through a whole Doc Rivers take. We had no idea who should be the head coach, right? I mean, we're crushing the firing. Who should be the head coach?
They suck.
I'm saying that they shouldn't have fired the They shouldn't have fired Doc Rivers.
Now, before you upcut me, I just realized that made absolutely no sense. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what you said.
Get him out.
Now, number two.
Hey, DA, what is Sean on your phone? When Sean calls you, what comes up?
More now, work.
Now, no work.
Number two is I basically feel like I'm writing a Gary Myers column here listing things. Number two.
Too short.
Number two. If we give you two or three that we really, really like that we're crediting you for,
yeah.
I mean, why should we have to pick new headlines for the ones we hate? Shouldn't it be, okay, they liked these, they hated these. Am I going to give alternative bad ones to the ones we liked? Oh, DA could have done this and it would have been awful.
No, if you think I could have done better, then give a better one. I think that's a better part. That's a way to make that whole segment make more sense. Also, it's fine if you don't want to, okay, you don't want to give me... You don't want to make a better headline because you kind of know that you can't. Okay, you can kill me for my bad ones.
Here we go.
Let's face it. If you can kill me for my headlines, it's fine. But we know that you two don't do this as well as I do. Let's just face it. Bogish never does it because he's not in those meetings. And Mraz, you certainly can't put out as many as I do. I mean, I'm doing... 12 a day. There's no way you could do that.
Excuse me? I want Andrew Kaplan mic'd up right now because when you were, you know, fishing in every lake that exists in upstate New York this summer, every Thursday and Friday, we couldn't find you. Who was the one making the headlines for the stream every day?
As opposed
to
the days
buddy.
That you floated in your pool every single day. I don't know what I have
but the
had
point
to do
is,
with what I did on my day off.
The point is, on those days off, who was coming up with headlines for every segment? It wasn't Bogus. It was me.
Okay.
I did it.
Okay, so you did it.
And were they all hit swings or misses? No. I probably had the same hit rate as you.
Round one, fight.
So you did it for 2 days for 6 weeks. And now you don't have to do it again until April, probably.
I mean, I guess fair.
So what you're
I'd like
so
to
what
ask
you're saying
Black
is
schedule, but
you
still.
you don't that's fine.
Well done.
It's fine. You don't want to do it in Swing and a Miss, but then you can't kill me in a segment for saying, well, you got to suggest a better song that the Raiders should play if you don't like Crazy Train, and then not give a better headline if you're killing my headline. It's hypocrisy.
Vocal combat.
You know what? I'll accept the challenge. I'm not going to be Dwayne Haskins at fault. I'll accept the challenge today. I'll ski pop and poop all over the place. You think I can't write headlines? I've got a lot of, whoa, that was great, Mraz, when we had pre-show meetings and we saw each other before the pandemic. Now suddenly, because we've all branched off and have had to look at each other's Zoom and you're writing the headlines, now suddenly I'm incapable. How quickly we forget. I mean, one of the things I used to be decent at was writing headlines. You even said that at one point to me. You know, Mraz, you're not bad at this. Now, months advance later on, you know, we can't shake hands with each other. Everybody's got to have a mask on. Suddenly, Mraz can't write a headline. I mean, I don't understand.
Warrior.
How quickly we forget your memory is shot. Focus, did I not write decent headlines when he was out?
No,
come
you,
on.
You, no,
Sean, back me
you
up
did.
Here.
You did. I when
I
could
mean,
I?
There's doing a lot you could discredit for me for on the show. There is. Let's be honest. There's a lot of moments I'd like to have back as producer of this show. But one thing, I will not stand for stuff I'm good at being knocked on baseless claims, which is exactly this. This is baseless. I know what I'm doing with a headline. That's annoying. I suck at a lot of things. Don't bash me for stuff I'm good at.
That's fair. I take that back. When we
swing
did do
and a miss, and he went down to his knees swinging at that pitch.
When we did used to do headlines, you did come up with a couple every morning that I liked. Now, do I think you could do that every single day for every single headline for 5 days a week, every single week? You know, I don't know. I don't know if you would have that hit rate. But you're right. You did do a couple of very good ones.
All right. So basically, you think I'm a backup quarterback. That's all. So DA has told you what he thinks of me and my abilities.
But I just find
I am a backup quarterback. I'll never be a franchise guy.
But you have all this confidence that you can do these great headlines. But then when I say, okay, just come up with better ones if you're going to kill mine, you're like, no, I don't want to do the work.
I didn't say I didn't want to do the work.
Yes,
I said,
you said.
I said, that, of course, this leads to more work.
You
now.
Did say it. You're like, I had a brainstorm for a new segment, and of course it means I got to do more work now.
Maybe I did. So you know what? More work it is. Might as well. Throw more on the plate. Pete, send me the right email, and I backed Pete. I want to hear Pete's complaints. I said it wasn't his fault. That's it. Now, you know what, DA? I was going to be nice on headlines today. I think I might find five misses, and we'll rewrite them all.
Fine. If you want to
okay, Fozzie.
If you want to rewrite them, I think that makes for a good segment.
All right. No problem.
When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, after that, and not even including me in his 75th anniversary team, I should be really offended. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the Brady's Bucks hosting the Chargers and two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe. Steelers take on the Titans. In the second game, most will see Cam of the Pats in Kansas City for a meeting with Mahomes of the Chiefs. Coverage begins NFL Today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Yeah.
Truck that right kind, through it.
That kind of morning here on the show. Mraz, what did Danielle just tell you in commercial break?
Stormed down the stairs. Her hair's all a mess. She just goes, enough with the yelling. You need to calm down. You're on my last nerve this morning.
You had to include her hair being a mess, right? Looked like a real chachalacha came down the stairs.
She's not a half. I mean, I sit down here. I do the radio show every day. All of a sudden today, some big issue with her. She must have not slept right. I'm getting yelled at for everything. It's ridiculous. Enough already. You're on my last nerve.
And now I've thrown you under the bus about swing and a miss, and you're really – you're really hot and bothered.
Yeah, and now we find out that I had some Chris Berman tweet that went to some article that now apparently I'm seeking attention again. I mean, you guys, everybody just take a timeout.
Down to his knees swinging at that pitch.
Well, you have a bad recent history of really seeking attention. I mean, you have the Bob's Bar write-up. You have looking for Taylor to get on the Yes Network. You have multiple situations where you have actively looked for attention.
Okay, well, I would argue that a lot of that wasn't active, but I have settled down the horses, guys. I really have. I've pulled back the reins because of criticisms. That's my fault that some website picks it up. It's my fault that I'm coming up with good headline stuff here. I mean, enough.
Let's go! We're going to relax.
We're going to relax. We're going to have a good rest of the show. We got Stun to a News coming up. We got more Ravens Chiefs reaction. We're going to be all right.
Go Big Blue.
He's writing teases now. How's Oscar in King's Park doing, by the way?
Oh, yeah, right. That was another thing where you hid your identity to call up WFAN right to have a Yankees take.
Now, all right. Now, you mentioned a hit list. That's fair, so I understand. But at some point, you know, forgive and let live, boys. Come on.
That sounds wrong. I think it is.
Also, you are definitely going to crow if the Yankees win game one tonight over the Cleveland Indians in the AL playoffs, and you had sworn off the team 10 days ago.
You will not see me tweet. You're not going to see me tweet about the Yankees this week. You're not.
Really?
No. I'm going to watch every baseball game, sure, but you're not going to see me tweet about it. Absolutely not.
You will not send one Yankees tweet.
You could hold me to that. You could hold me to that. I'm not sending one Yankees tweet tonight. No way. I have no confidence in the world at all. They're going to get shut down.
Oh, this is great. This is great. Right, so, okay. Mraz has sworn off tweeting for the entire series or the entire playoffs?
This series. I can't say the entire playoffs because I know myself. You never know. A couple 14-0 wins. I get it. I'm a joke. But
yeah,
not this series. I don't even trust. I don't trust they're going to win this series. Absolutely not. No way.
Okay, perfect. So, guys, I want you to make sure you are policing Mraz's Twitter handle to make sure there are absolutely no tweets referencing anything Yankees for the entire first-round series against the Indians.
You know what? Let me set an alarm.
And if there are, Sean, where do you want to be naked as a punishment?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Perfectly at home.
Yeah, I got to just imagine the Twitter bird. You know, you're on my last nerve, Sean. You said you were not going to tweet about the Yankees.
That guy quit already.
I just set an alarm, 7 p.m., no Yankee tweets. There you go.
Okay. Andrew Bogish, a.k.a. Andrew Vogish, has our headline this morning. AV, good morning.
Thanks, B.A. The Chiefs' offense was almost flawless in the first half of Monday Night Football in Baltimore.
Right hand on the ball, snaps it back to the waist of Mahomes. Retreating into the pocket, Marlon Humphrey on a blitz. Deep throw down the middle, Hardman wide open, touchdown! Kansas City, a 49-yard bomb!
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. KC led 27-10 at the break. It could have been 31 points because Harrison Butker missed a PAT and a field goal.
It was a good half. Could have been better, but it was a good half. And we still have a ton of things we can work on here and clean up, and we'll do that.
Andy Reid's team let the Ravens get within a touchdown in the fourth, then marched 75 yards in 13 plays for Patrick Mahomes' fourth TD pass of the night. This one went to left tackle Eric Fisher. The Chiefs won 34-20, extending their win streak to 12, dating back to last season. Lamar Jackson threw for just 97 yards, ran for 83. His offense only got in the end zone once. Jackson's now 0-3 against KC, but 21-1 versus the rest of the NFL. To no one's surprise, the Bears are going to Nick Foles under center. They've also lost running back Tariq Cohen to a torn ACL. Broncos D-tackle Jarrell Casey has a season-ending torn pec. He's Denver's third starter and fourth Pro Bowler to go on IR. The good news is running back Philip Lindsay may return from his toe injury Thursday night against the Jets. Chargers corner Chris Harris Jr. could reportedly miss 6 weeks with a foot injury, and the Texans will host free agent safety Earl Thomas this week. ESPN said it's likely Thomas eventually signs a contract. The Tampa Bay Lightning are your Stanley Cup champs. They beat the Stars 2-0 in Game 6. Those goals from Braden Point and from Blake Coleman. 22 saves from Andre Vasilevsky. And again, their second cup in team history. The baseball playoffs begin at 2 Eastern with the Twins hosting the Astros. Minnesota has some injury concerns. Center fielder Byron Buxton and Josh Donaldson, their third baseman, did work out yesterday after both missed the weekend. Buxton had mild concussion symptoms after getting hit in the head by a pitch on Friday. Donaldson dealing with right calf cramps. The White Sox and A's start at 3 Eastern, then the Jays and Rays, then the Yankees in Cleveland. Notre Dame now says 18 players have tested positive for coronavirus, another 7 in isolation with them, and then another 14 players are in quarantine. The other players have resumed conditioning work. Their next game is next Saturday against Florida State. The Noles are getting head coach Mike Norvell back at practice today, and he expects to coach Saturday against Jacksonville State. Norvell spent 10 days in quarantine after testing positive for COVID-19. The Colorado Rapids confirming one more player, 7 more staff members testing positive, 1 player and 3 staffers had COVID-19 last week, postponing a match with Sporting KC. And finally, day 3 at the French Open, American Jen Brady lost in 3 sets to 17-year-old Clara Towson. Second-seeded Carolina Pliskova surviving in 3 sets.
A moment
sets.
Here, guys. Just a quick sports moment before stunt to a news. We've had positive tests at Notre Dame all across college football. Now Bogish is mentioning also the story with the Colorado Rapids, and we kind of just move on. It's not a huge story. Notre Dame's game being postponed is kind of a big story, but still there's so many other college football games that it doesn't become this kind of overwhelming story. Do you think if an NFL team had positive tests that we would also just kind of like brush it away and be like, eh, whatever? Would it depend on the notoriety of the player? Like if it was a bunch of no-name guys, it wouldn't matter even if he played for, you know, the Patriots or something or the Steelers? Or do you think that football has a different attention on it where it would be a big deal no matter who tested positive?
Well, DA, right off the bat, I mean, it took me until Bogus' second update yesterday to even know the Falcons had a player in A.J. Terrell, their first-round pick, test positive. And they continued the game and they played on.
Yeah, he tested positive before the game, right? He was a corner and they didn't play him on Sunday?
I believe
correct.
On Friday or Saturday he tested positive. Yeah, he didn't play. They did quick contract tracing. But if that happened in Major League Baseball, because what happened with the Marlins, there would have been no game. The NFL played on and has seemingly been fine. And then there was also the report Saturday of even more false positives with the Houston Texans, and they played that game on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't know if the NFL is just doing a good job of burying this because their games are getting so much more attention, where the other sports, it seems like the COVID tests get more attention than the games, that it's not as big a story. But yeah, I'm sure if there was a starting quarterback on Saturday that had to miss the game, like the Falcons corner did, it would be a huge story, to your point. But I don't know. The NFL just seems like it's even bigger than having to deal with the backlash of playing through COVID positive tests.
Yeah, you might be right. I find it interesting. I mean, I kind of think that we're a bit at the moment now as a country and as sports fans where positive COVID tests, we're kind of numb to it a little bit. It's not that big a deal. But I wonder if that would be different if the game itself was different, was bigger, and if the names themselves were bigger.
Right.
All right, guys, on that note, how about we get stunned to a news?
Yeah, stunned to a news here.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So here in New York, the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, has uncovered a secret man cave in the bowels of Grand Central Terminal. This one, by the way, comes to us from Senor Pantleg. Apparently, 3 Metro North Railroad employees made themselves a little clubhouse in an unused locksmith shop, again, well underground in the middle of Manhattan. There was a fridge, a futon, a flat-screen TV, some workout equipment. The 3 men have been suspended without pay while an investigation continues. They deny all wrongdoing, but there's a mountain of evidence against them, like a receipt with one of their names wrapped in an air mattress, and the Amazon Fire Stick they were using to stream their favorite shows has one guy's private personal hotspot saved under Wi-Fi connections, and is registered to him. So yeah, they did this, and none of this really is that bad of a thing, except for the fact that they may have been collecting overtime while hanging out in their little subterranean clubhouse, not working on the railroad system, the train system here in New York.
So I saw the story, and it got a big bunch of attention, and I kind of didn't think anything was that bad with it. I'm like, okay. I mean, a bunch of guys, when they had their off time, their off hours, were spending it somewhat comfortably in an unused room, many stories below the earth. That and it wasn't that good looking. I don't know if you saw the pictures of it, but it looks like a dumpy little room that was like a cave. But I guess the big thing here is if you're collecting overtime while hanging out down there, that's a bad thing. Because outside of that, did you guys think there was anything wrong with having that little clubhouse?
No, and the overtime is the big kicker, because to me, I think anybody who criticized it is probably the same people who, you know, basically duck out at noon on Thursday to watch March Madness out of the office, or stream whatever they want to stream on their computer now at work, whether it's TV shows or whatever else. I mean, there's a lot of people who are built around glass houses where suddenly they want to criticize other people for not working hard. I'm sorry, that's just the truth.
Yeah, everybody at work tries to cut corners. There's very few people that are always ambitious and always focused and always driven. So most people look for little things like taking a two-hour lunch or taking a liquid lunch or, like you said, ducking out for March Madness or, oh, I've got a doctor's appointment and then leaving for the rest of the day even though the doctor's appointment isn't until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
There are people who take up cigarettes just for the breaks.
Right, yeah, right. And so these guys built a little clubhouse beneath where they work to maybe rest if they're working late hours, if they've got to turn around for a quick shift in the morning. Like, I get it, but you can't collect overtime while you're hanging out watching your Amazon Fire Stick downstairs.
And you got to clean up after yourself. Like, at least try to hide your tracks in this. If you know you're breaking the rules, don't leave paperwork and your Wi-Fi password scribbled right onto your Amazon Fire Stick.
Yes, that's exactly right. That is your Stunned to a News. When we come back here on the show, this date in mothership history, 4 years ago, we roasted the Yankees. Listen for why. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit, car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. 4 years ago on this date, we took umbrage to the New York Yankees, celebrating and saluting Big Poppy David Ortiz. Let's roll the tape.
They just did a pre-game ceremony, with a couple gifts.
Couple gifts, okay.
Yes.
And what were the gifts?
It was like a box and like a leather-bound book that I guess former Yankee players had written certain inscriptions to Ortiz.
The second gift I thought was even more infuriating, a painting of David Ortiz basically tipping his helmet and overlooking Yankee Stadium, like a crowded Yankee Stadium, almost like, and it was almost like the pictures, you know, it was like, hey, this is David Ortiz, he owns Yankee Stadium. You know, like that was
wow,
like the image.
That's
and
weird.
That picture was a disgrace that you would give this man.
And then they also played Sweet Caroline.
Well, then the PA announcer makes an announcement. You know, let's honor David Ortiz for his, you know, help make the Yankee Red Sox rivalry great. And, you know, we wish him well in retirement. And all of a sudden, they started strumming up Sweet Caroline.
Oh.
And that's how it ended. It was Sweet Caroline. Oh. Sweet Caroline, oh. DA.
So Poppy walks off the field, bro hugs Mariano Rivera to Sweet Caroline at Yankee Stadium, and I almost threw up in my mouth.
The Yankees are spineless.
It's just too happy-go-lucky over there, and it's weird. It's real weird.
I can't take it. Me and James looking at each other, I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. They won't be getting a Gary Sanchez jersey purchase out of me this offseason, I'll tell you that much.
It's just, and it's so indicative of the changing of times. As a fan of sports, I love it when the players don't like each other, but then it's like, it's just, it's like the line from A Bronx Tale, Mickey Mantle's not paying your rent. And it's hard that we take it so seriously, but do we need to play Sweet Caroline at Yankee Stadium and honor David Ortiz? No, it's not, we don't have to do it.
That was really bizarre that the Yankees went and bent over backwards for David Ortiz. And I tend to agree that today it's really weird that so many teams that get beaten by players come back and serenade them and honor them and celebrate them. It's like, no, you beat my ass for 15 years, and this is not going to be the place where you get a farewell tour. Like, Yankee Stadium, okay, you want to have David Ortiz tip his cap at his final game? That's one thing. But playing a song for him, giving him a painting, letting him ride off into the sunset in the arch nemesis stadium just doesn't feel right. Very weird. We'll ask Mraz if he did purchase that Gary Sanchez jersey while we come up here next. But also when we come back, the Chiefs all over the Ravens last night. Will Lamar Jackson ever get to a Mahomes level?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.